From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Well, welcome into ABQ Connect. You know, I'm going to start today's show before I forget, because I forget too often. Thank you, Jared, our faithful engineer, making us sound as good as Ray Mondragon in studio with us, as good as we can sound.
Yep.
Ray, I mean, there's only so much he can do to make us sound okay, and appreciate what he does daily to do that. But as I mentioned, Ray Mondragon is in studio with us, and Ray, what we were in here about a month ago, talking about Genesis. Ray, of course, involved with several groups, including Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. And we're going to get back into, I like to call it the syllabus. I don't know what else to call it, Ray. It's close enough, right?
It's close enough.
Before we do that, if you don't mind, I'm going to mention an event coming up that people really should have
absolutely.
On their...
Absolutely.
Do you have it on your calendar?
Yep.
You going to be there?
I'm planning on being there. I don't have anything better to do.
Noah Webster College is going to be presenting the Creation Essentials Mini Seminar. And here's one of the best parts about the mini seminar. It's free 50-free. You can't beat that.
Nope.
There'll be some great information. And it's happening at Hoffmantown Church in Albuquerque. And for those who don't know where that is, Harper and Ventura in the Northeast Heights. Not hard to find. It's Saturday morning, October 29th at 8 a.m. And topics are going to include atheism versus biblical creation science, which is some of what we talk about on the show here.
Well, a lot of the things that we're going to cover in that seminar we've done here and we plan to do also.
And does the Bible allow... An old earth, one of the other topics, scientific evidence for a worldwide flood. Really looking forward to hearing about, I've heard about this often, but always great information. I'm not sure I'd like to use the word ammo, but it's great fodder for conversations regarding the flood and creation and
it's important for young people, particularly because they're going to be faced, if they go to college, they're going to be faced with the atheistic worldview that denies creation.
Don't need to wait for college for that.
No.
They'll get it well before then. And then another topic covered human genetics. And then there's going to be a Q&A as well. And there's going to be, you know better than I do, Ray, some of the speakers that'll be at the event.
Right. Well, I'll be one of them. I'm going to do
that. So you will be there?
Yeah. Unless something else more important comes up, like the rapture.
Now, is John Kinzer speaking at the event?
John Kinzer's going to be more...
A moderator?
Yeah, moderator and introduce things.
Okay. And Terry, who you introduced me to.
Yep.
Terry's last
name? Terry Harden.
Okay.
And he will be doing some issues dealing with the age of the earth.
Oh, very cool. Okay. And, you know... one of the other things I wanted to say, Ray, because we said some of this is stuff we've covered here on ABQ Connect. You know, Paul often repeated, God repeats stuff through Scripture.
Absolutely.
Because, I'm just a dumb sheep, and I need to hear it over and over again. Practice makes permanent. So it's a good thing to put on the calendar. And again, it's the Noah Webster College Creation Essentials mini seminar, a free event, Saturday morning, October 29th at Hoffmantown Church. The details are at csfnm.org. That's the website for Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, csfnm.org. See you there, and we'll probably let you know about that at least one more time before the end of today's show.
And also mention that it's kid-friendly. In fact, we would prefer to have lots of kids there.
Well, I hope a lot of the homeschool groups together, homeschool
particularly,
go to that. Parents, you know, encourage or bring kids that you have in public school.
Right.
You know, it's extra credit, although the teacher may not give them any points for it. May ask your teacher if you're in public school.
In fact, that'd be great. Bring lots of teachers.
Right. Yeah. Bring the teachers and ask them, hey, can I get some extra credit for going to school on a Saturday? and we're about to do just that, actually, but on a Wednesday. Go to school with Ray Mondragon. And Ray, I'll let you kind of back up to where we left off last month.
Well, last month I somewhat introduced the issue of science and scripture, broadly speaking. And one of the problems with the church today is most theologians and a lot of pastors are a little intimidated when it comes to the early chapters of Genesis.
Why do you think that is?
Well, the world, the secular world, has a perspective, particularly concerning ancient history, that goes contrary to the biblical account. And since science has such a prominent place in our culture, theologians and Bible teachers and pastors have a hard time sorting all of that out. But I encourage them, if you just stick to the text and you exegete the text carefully, you'll be in line with science, because what you're doing is you're actually revealing what God has revealed concerning how he brought things about. And we've already talked, even before you became the announcer here, that there's really very, very little evidence for evolution. It's more of a substitute for the God of the Bible. For the unbelieving mind to have something that he can think of that leaves God out in terms of origins. So it's very important to have a grasp on early chapters of Genesis. In fact, that's what we're going to focus on here. So I gave a little bit of an introduction last time in terms of what is the problem here. Well, part of the problem is a difference in worldview. And we have a biblical worldview, or the believer should, whereas the secularist leaves God out of everything, including science. And I gave a quick overview of the origins of modern science. It actually began with Bible-believing Christians that took passages like Romans 1:20 seriously, where it talks about the creation revealing something about God. So they were interested in the natural realm. They were interested in creation. And they were also interested in knowing something about God. So they thought, well, let's investigate and study the natural realm, and came up with the laws of science, or ideas concerning science, discovered laws of science. And really their attitude was, this is what God built in to the creation.
Because when you say that, for those listening, the laws of gravity.
Right.
The laws of...
speed of light.
Oh, right.
Constants.
Right.
Radiometric decay, all these things. And the more that we find in the natural realm, the more we actually have revelation concerning the God of the Bible. And if God also wrote scripture, we believe that he inspired men to write. But the end product, because of the doctrine or the concept of inspiration, the end product is what God intended for us to have.
And of course, many of us know inspiration, it means God breathed.
Yep, that's one of the ways of describing it. So the relationship here, if God is the creator, and that's what the Bible unmistakably indicates from not just Genesis 1, but all the way through the book of Revelation. So from Genesis to Revelation, speaks of God as creator. So if he is the creator, then he knows everything about the creation. And if he's also behind scripture, then there should not be a conflict. And the conflict is with man. The conflict is with either interpreting the scripture and or not understanding some basic things about the natural realm that God gives us insight into in his word. So that's our approach from the biblical perspective, is we look through scripture and we can find descriptions of different processes, for example, different things. And we take into account that God is the creator. So that explains miracles. He can intervene at any time to change the laws or to revise them or modify them. So the
supernatural.
Supernatural. The biblical perspective is that God is behind everything that you can study in the natural realm. And if that's the case, then science should actually support everything the Bible teaches. And that's the essence of what we do in creation science. Creation science emphasizes God as creator. And since he is the creator, we can be informed by looking at scripture concerning the natural realm.
Well, you know, we're just reminded as we talk about this, how crafty the enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
When I say the enemy, I mean Satan. I mean the devil.
Exactly.
If Genesis can be attacked and, I don't believe it can be disproven, but if he can make people believe
right.
that it is untrue
or mythological
right.
or inaccurate,
then that's the first domino that the rest of scripture, there's no place for it.
And that's the viewpoint of creation science, is it's so foundational. If we get it wrong, then more than likely we're going to, like you say, the dominoes are going to continue to fall, and we are going to have a distorted view of the rest of what scripture has to say.
And I have every confidence, over my years as a believer, that it won't fall. It won't fall.
Promised that it will not.
Right, and people may feel like they've been told that it has. Mm-hmm. However, with the information you're going to share today and information people will get at the Noah Webster College Creation Essentials mini seminar on the 29th at Hoffmantown Church,
mm-hmm.
They'll be better equipped to share the truth.
And that's our purpose, is to equip people, and particularly young people, to be able to trust in the Bible that they read. Because we believe that it is not only inspired, but because God produced it, we believe that it is inerrant. In other words, without error in everything that it teaches, in everything that it discusses. And we from creation science, some theologians believe in inspiration and inerrancy, but they limit it to when the Bible speaks on theological issues. But the Bible has a lot to say about natural issues or the natural realm, and we believe that it's inerrant when it speaks to any issue, including science, including history, or any area that you might endeavor to pursue. Philosophy. There's a philosophy that the Bible presents that is different from the secular world, the secular viewpoint of man's thinking.
Now, Ray, that brings us to a good point to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've kind of covered the review from last week,
yep.
or last month. When we come back, and I want to encourage our listeners, if you have your Bible handy, open it up to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to jump in after the break. It's going to be a look at Genesis 1 and science right after this on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700, or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
All right. Thanks again to Indigo Mortgage, Ben Lucero, and the team there for what they do to support KLYT and Christian Radio here in New Mexico. In studio with us on ABQ Connect today, we've welcomed Ray Mondragon back into studio, and we kind of started the show with a review of last month's conversation, and we jump today further down the syllabus that Ray... Thank you, Ray, for preparing this. You put a lot of work into this. We jump into Genesis 1 and science, Ray. Show us the way, and then I'll be prepared to be the... If I got a question, I'll raise my hand.
Yeah.
Or cut in.
Well, just jump in and interrupt anytime.
All right.
Well, one other issue of review that we didn't cover that I'd like to kind of get into and then transition into Genesis 1:1. Okay. I want to look at it from the very start there. One other thing that we mentioned last time is we as believers don't have a lot of difference or issues with science in general. We use the same principles of observation, generalization, etc. In fact, those principles come from biblical exegesis. I gave a review of that.
And would you say repeated observation?
Yeah. We have little problem with most areas of modern science. Mm-hmm. And I distinguished between observational science. We have very little issue with observational science. Little quibbles here and there, but nothing major. Well, we have a major issue is what's called historical science, trying to reconstruct particularly ancient events. And there's where we have major differences. And that's where evolution comes in, the origin of things. Evolution, is it evolution or is it creation? No one was there. No one made observations, except God himself, obviously. So we want to distinguish between observational science and historical science. Historical science is based on the traces that are left by events. And then it also includes the interpretation. This is very important. The interpretation of those traces. And that's where we differ. We look at the same data. We look at the geological column and all of the layers. We look at atoms. We look at radiometric decay. We look at all of the data. And those that give indications of things that happened in the past, we don't have a problem with the data. We have the problem with the interpretation of the data. And we take a biblical worldview and see that God is, in fact, creator. And nobody saw that as well. We don't claim to say that we were there because Adam wasn't created until day 6. So he didn't even know. And we don't know that he left even a record other than what we have in the book of Genesis. So that's one clarification that we need to make. And from that, so when you go to the book of Genesis or any place in the Bible, I like to look at passages in their normal, natural way that the author tried to communicate. And what the author's trying to communicate in the very beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is, in some ways, a statement that refers to science. You could even consider it a scientific statement. It's not written in formulaic form. It's not written like in a textbook of science, but that is every much a statement of science as anything that you can read in any textbook.
Ray, what makes it a statement of science?
Good question. Well, science deals with matter, right? In other words, the natural realm is composed of atoms, molecules, matter in general. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all of matter. In fact, the heavens and the earth is a Hebrew merism that gives the two extremes, that is the furthest from us and that is immediate to us. And a merism gives you the idea of the totality. In other words, the extreme, that is the most distant and that is the closest. That's the biblical word for universe. There's not a word for universe in the Hebrew text. But that's the way of conveying that.
Ray, is the furthest from us infinite?
Well, I believe, and I think the Bible indicates, that the universe has boundaries. So to go beyond that, the infinite would be God himself. So I would say that the universe has boundaries.
And do you base that on the scripture saying that he measures the span or the
little indicators like that, but even
with the span of his hand.
Yeah, even day two. Yeah, and every way that it's described in scripture, it's finite. Now, some theologian or not theologians, but some scientists think that it is infinite. But the only one that's infinite is God himself. God is the only infinite entity, or we know he's a person. But anyway, the reason it's a scientific issue deals with matter. Now, it deals with all matter in the universe. The universe contains energy. And we're going to see on day one, if we get into that text there, that's probably the creation of energy. Light is only a part of the broader electromagnetic spectrum, which is basically another way of describing energy. So science deals with energy, and we have basically all of the energy of the universe that's created. Science deals with processes. Science deals with how things interact with one another, chemical reactions, etc. We have the ultimate in processes, creation. So the little word creation, that's God's process of bringing everything about. Science deals with agency, cause and effect, one thing causing another. Here we have the ultimate in agency, God himself. He's the ultimate and final cause. So Genesis 1:1 is every much a scientific statement as anything that you can come up with in any science book.
Love it.
Science deals with time. What do we have in Genesis 1:1?
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
At the start.
So we have the beginning of time. So even Genesis 1:1 deals with the natural realm, and it describes the origin, I think, of all things, the origin of the universe and the universe of the natural realm. So you could consider it something of a scientific statement. So from the very beginning, you have this interaction of God theology and creation. Now, obviously, it's a theological statement because it deals with God and what God is doing. And that's what the Bible deals with, is God and what he does and what his plan is. That's theology, but it's also a scientific statement as well.
You know, here's a question, because it does seem like those who believe in something like Big Bang evolution, believe that something from nothing.
That's unscientific.
But it seems like a religion.
It is a religion.
Because it seems like it takes more faith to believe that.
It absolutely does.
Than it does to believe what we can see.
Yes, yes, and observe. That's right. The basis of science.
Yeah.
And absolutely. In fact, Henry Morris, I don't have his statement, but he goes into an elaborate description of the amount of faith that it takes to believe in evolution, because there's no evidence for it. And Genesis 1 gives us a lot of evidence for God as creator, because it corresponds to what you can observe in the natural realm, corresponds with reality. And many other statements do as well. And you might say, well, what about the rest of the Bible? Well, you ought to read Romans 8, beginning in about verse 18. That's another scientific description of what God is going to do in the future, but it refers back to Genesis chapter 3. And it deals with, in fact, the word creation is used four times in that context. So it's dealing with the natural realm.
Can we go ahead and read it?
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Okay. Actually, 8 starts in the middle.
18.
Oh, 18. Okay.
18.
All right. Let me scroll down here. No, I'm not turning a page. I'm scrolling. Okay. Here we go. 18
scrolling
through.
Scroll.
Yeah.
Oh, 22 or so.
Okay. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us.
Now, he's giving a perspective on suffering. And he's giving a big perspective. And he goes all the way back to the origin of it. So he's going back to Genesis. Keep reading.
So for the eagerly awaiting creation waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans.
That's the fourth time.
And suffers the pains of childbirth together until now.
Now, we could spend, in fact, I've got a couple of lectures on that passage alone, just bringing out science that is described there. So it is full. I didn't intend to deal with that. I just almost threw it out as an extra.
Since you mentioned it.
But.
Why not, right? never a mistake to read the Word of God.
But what Paul is doing is he's showing the origin of the world in which we live in today. In other words, when God created in Genesis 1, he created a very good creation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we're not living in a very good creation anymore. There's hurricanes, there's tornadoes.
Weeds.
Weeds. There's thorns and thistles.
Weeds.
Decay. There's, yeah.
they're an enemy of mine.
Paul is alluding to what happened in Genesis 3, and there was a radical change in the entire universe. And in fact, there's evidence of that that scientists can observe today. So the fall of man had an impact on the entire creation. And I don't know if you noticed, but creation is used four times in that passage.
I heard you counting.
Yeah. he talks about, he's referring to Genesis 3 and the fall of mankind. And by the way, Genesis 3 emphasizes some of these physical changes that took place. Changes took place in the animal kingdom, changes to zoology, so all of zoology is affected. Changes took place, a mention of the woman, but we would include man as well, so all of anthropology was affected. Changes were implemented in the, it says, the ground. So geophysics was affected by the fall of man. Botany was affected, thorns and thistles, weeds. Came back to your weeds here. Even areas of physics, inefficiency, and tendency towards randomness, the sweat of thy brow. All of these little hints in there indicate that all of the creation doesn't mention everything. But it's trying to give you a picture that the fall of man had an effect on everything. And Romans 8, Paul is saying, and that's, he's describing the futility. In other words, the emptiness, the lack of progress, you might even say. And from that, he says there's going to be a future day when God is going to change the whole universe again. And it's even going to be better than what it was when it was originally created. That's the whole point. And the point of the passage is the suffering that we experience now is a result of the fall of man, but suffering is temporary, and God is going to deal with it, and we're just in the middle.
And of course, we know we've been promised in heaven there will be
no pain.
Right, no suffering.
No suffering.
Hey, Ray, it's a good place to take a quick break.
Good.
When we come back, we'll
get back into Genesis.
That's right. Have your Bible open to the book of Genesis. And if we need to go to Romans or somewhere else, we might do that. But just be prepared. We'll be back with Ray Mondragon on ABQ Connect after this. KLYT.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
All right, here we are back on ABQ Connect. I'm Steve Ryman, and I'm gonna volley it right back to Ray Mondragon and pick up where we left off our conversation in Genesis chapter 1.
Well, if you go to the text, and we looked at verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I view verse 2 as kind of the initial conditions that God describes that he is going to reverse in his creative work. And when it says the earth was formless and void, it apparently did not have a form, and he's going to give form to it. And it is empty or void, and he's going to fill that creation so that it is no longer void. He's going to fill it with plant life, with animal life, And then the crown of creation is mankind. And darkness, he's going to reverse that on day one. Darkness is the absence of light. Now, there's different views, and I don't want to get into all of the details, of the theological details. People can go to commentaries and that sort of thing. But the view that I take is just read the text in the simplest. In fact, I would encourage people to consult their 12-year-old son or daughter and ask them to explain it. And in the book that I'm writing, I kind of use that analogy throughout some of the chapters
there. I love it.
And I encourage people to get the interpretation of a 12-year-old. And my contention is that 12-year-old is going to give you more insight than a PhD in science and theology.
Well, and I actually already have a question, but I'm going to save it until you're through chapter or through verse 2.
Okay, so this is the initial conditions that God describes that he's going to reverse. And the darkness is over the surface of the deep. So you want to notice the deep there. That right. word, everywhere in Scripture, everywhere in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word there refers to deep waters, ocean waters.
Well, we're about to get to that.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's talking about what appears to be this ball or mass. Maybe it's not even a ball. Maybe he needs to shape it in that way.
It's formless.
It's formless.
It's like an amoeba.
This mass of, and I
shouldn't say it's like an amoeba, but I'm trying to think of something without
it.
It
does not have shape.
Right. Yeah.
I take it in its simplest that we have this mass of H2O. It's water.
Okay. That's part of what I was going to ask. Okay. Water is mentioned. So exclusively, maybe it, I mean, we don't know.
We don't know, but that's.
But we do know there was water.
That seems to be what the text is indicating.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, when it talks about, it says the earth. So the earth is composed of H2O, or water. And notice that the Spirit of God is also involved. Now, if we got into the theology here and talked about God in verse 1, the word there in the Hebrew is Elohim. And Hebrew students know when you have an im ending of a word, it's plural. So already at the very beginning, the Bible is telling us that there's something about God that indicates he's something of a plurality, at least. And then in verse 2, we have the Spirit of God. So we have more than just this plurality. And by the time we get to the New Testament, we have the full-blown development of the doctrine of the Trinity. And in Colossians 1, we know that Jesus is the Creator. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are creators of all things. So that's verse 2, and the Spirit is involved in the moving over the surface of the waters. So the emphasis again, H2O. And that brings us to day 1, where God speaks everything into existence. Now, from the simplistic way I take this, and straightforward way, I think what we have here is an absolute beginning. And again, there's different views that people take and inject.
How? And we just said in the beginning in verse 1.
Yeah.
Where does the argument come from?
Well, do you want me to get into it?
That's up to you. I mean,
yeah, briefly, there's.
You were starting this with get your 12-year-old and read this. And it's like, well, in the beginning.
And I agree.
And it says in the beginning, and then the next verse, and.
Right.
It's not like later.
Right.
It's in the beginning, this, and.
Well, let me see if I can briefly kind of explain what happened here. In about the 1700s, pretty much everyone had a biblical worldview concerning creation. And it's around this time frame when geology and other sciences started to develop, and the secularists began to use some of the data from geology, for example, but other areas as well. And they started to begin to think in terms of longer ages, longer period of time, laying the groundwork for the 1800s for Darwin. Darwin picked up on that and said, hey, there's all that time that I need for evolution.
Right.
Okay. So theologians are jumping through hoops to trying to figure out, well, how do we answer? You know, science says this, and science is so respected. Can't go against science. We'll sound foolish. So theologians began to come up with different ways of trying to harmonize the two. And one of them that was actually popularized by the King James Version, the ones that had the notations, I'm trying to remember the specific, the Scofield Reference Bible, had a note in there that put a gap between verse 1 and verse 2. And the theory was you can put as many millions and millions of years as you want between verses 1 and 2, and something happened in there, the fall of Satan. And verse 2 is actually a description of a judgment that God brought and made the original creation formless and void and darkness. All of these are used in a negative sense elsewhere. And what we have beginning in verse 3 is a recreation of the heavens and the earth. So that's kind of a thumbnail sketch. There's a lot of little other elements to it. But that has been totally discredited. It doesn't work anyway. And it's better, I think, to just take the text in its straightforward way. And that's why I emphasize this is the absolute beginning. And then verse 3, then God said. Now, we kind of read that casually and don't think about it much. But if you read each of the days, in fact, it occurs two times in one other day, at least, where it says, and God said, almost emphasizing. Did you get it the first time? I'm going to say it again. And God said. Did you get it then? Well, I'm going to need to say it again. And God said, and then he does a creative act. So I think it's calling attention to the fact that God simply speaks and things come about.
Okay, so here's a question. Is he talking to himself?
And that's a good question. That's very in fact, when you get to verse 26, he says, let us
right
make man in our image, after our likeness. That's more evidence of this plurality, this idea that God is not just a singularity. Now, God is one. It's part of the doctrine of the Trinity. But he's not a singularity. In other words, there is a plurality within that oneness and oneness of essence. So I would say that it's laying the groundwork for what we develop as you get further, even into the Old Testament, but particularly into the New Testament. You have the full development of the concept and doctrine of the Trinity. Now, we believe as conservative Bible students in progressive revelation, where God has revealed his mind, not all at once, but he gives us little bits and pieces. And as we move through time and through scripture, there's a chronology of scripture. And as we move through that, and by the time we get to the first century and the time of Christ and the early church, now we have a full development of God's revelation. And now we can put together doctrines that are hard to even conceive, even today, like a doctrine of the Trinity. Does that kind of answer the question?
Yeah. And actually, a good place to break for an opportunity to say thank you to some of the folks that support Christian Radio in New Mexico. I'm Steve Ryman. You're listening to ABQ Connect. We're visiting today with Ray Mondragon. And when we come back, we're in Genesis chapter 1. We just got into verse 3. Just through, then God said. No, but I love it. I love that there's so much to unpack here, and we're going to continue to do that right after this on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
All right. Well, welcome back into ABQ Connect. I'm Steve Ryman, and in studio with us, Ray Mondragon with Creation Science Fellowship New Mexico. They meet once in a while, don't they, Ray?
We meet once a month, third Tuesday of the month, and we have one scheduled for next week.
That's right, because we're on the second Wednesday of the month.
Yes.
Which I did want to mention. It's not a hard, fast rule, but for those following along with the syllabus that you've created to go through, this is a great conversation. We've got plenty of time to do this. So each month we're going to pick up where we leave off with Ray in the syllabus that he's prepared. And that is typically going to be on the second Wednesday of each month on ABQ Connect. Now, Ray and I both have lives, and something may deviate from that. And besides, in James, it says you're not to say you'll be in this town or that a town on this day doing business. Instead, you should say,
yeah,
Lord willing.
Yeah, so who are you? You're just a breath.
Yeah. So Lord willing, the second Wednesday of each month, we'll spend time going through this. Ray's agreed to do that, and I so much appreciate it. Now, before we jump back into Genesis chapter 1 in verse 3, and we left off with, then God said, we'll get back to that momentarily. Before we're out today, I want to make sure to mention again, Noah Webster College is providing for you, us, Albuquerque, New Mexico, the world.
Whoever.
Because I'm assuming a lot of this will be recorded, or I don't know if they're going to webcast it. Or
no, it won't be, but we will record, and it will be available. And I know at least my talk, I'm going to record it for sure and put it on my website.
Well, it's the Creation Essentials Mini Seminar. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show, one of the very, very best parts of it, it is free, 50-50. And even though we say it's no cost or free, you guys have put a lot of work into it. And there is an investment that has been made. However, those attending won't be expected to show up with anything more than a prepared mind and heart to receive what God's prepared for them.
Now, if they just can't help it and they need to donate, Noah Webster will take donations.
Right. That's right. That is exactly right. But it's happening at Hoffmantown Church, Harper and Ventura, Saturday morning, October 29th, the Noah Webster College Creation Essentials mini seminar, covering topics like atheism versus biblical creation science. Does the Bible allow an old earth? Scientific evidence for a worldwide flood. All of these are just fascinating subjects. Trust me, you will not be bored. Make sure you get plenty of sleep, because you're going to want to take notes and be alert to hear what's going to be offered. One of the other topics, human genetics. Looking forward to hearing about that. And then a Q&A session, which, Ray, thanks for letting me have my own little private Q&A here from time to time when you're going through.
Oh, that's great.
I would encourage our listeners, if you have a question about something we're talking about, the phone number is 505-338-5790, and you can text 505-585-LIVE, 505-585-5483 for the text. It's kind of like just raising your hand. I interrupt Ray all the time, but he's so gracious to just let me ask my question and not to go, too far off on a tangent. But I appreciate answering the questions we have, Ray. Let's jump back into Genesis chapter 1, verse 3.
One thing before the Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Yes.
I'm going to kind of give a warm-up talk.
Okay.
I'm going to deal with the Genesis flood, and I'm going to give the biblical evidence that demands a universal or worldwide flood to kind of lay the foundation for the talk that at the mini seminar.
Okay.
So if people want to get kind of warmed up.
Did you mention where that is? Is that still at Faith Church?
Yeah, Faith Bible Church, corner of Moon and Central.
Okay.
And that's at 7 o'clock Tuesday.
Is the information for that on the website,
too? It's on the website.
CSFNM.org. That's Creation Science Fellowship, New Mexico.org. Next Tuesday, Ray's going to lay down the foundation for the scientific evidence for a worldwide flood. Then he'll continue during the mini seminar on Saturday the 29th at Hoffmantown. Okay.
Right. Okay. So Genesis 1:3, then God said, So God speaks everything. In fact, if we had time, we could even talk about God as the originator of language. First statement, God speaking.
He did a lot of firsts.
Yeah, oh, lots of firsts. But let's focus on what God does. Let there be light. And there was light. So he speaks and there is light. And one thing to notice there, and you're going to see this as another pattern throughout the days, God speaks or God acts, and we have the immediacy of fulfillment. It's almost like Moses knew there's going to come a day when people are going to talk about long ages, long periods of time, long processes that take ages and ages and ages. Genesis 1, let there be light, and there was light. God speaks, and it happens. The immediacy of action. And there's so much here. We could spend, like I said, a lot of time, but when we talk about light, you need to keep in mind that light is only a very small portion of what scientists today describe as the electromagnetic spectrum, which includes X-rays, ultraviolet light, and all the other wavelengths. But it's the basic energy. It's the basis for all other energy. So God is creating energy on day one. So it's broader than just visible light. And we know, and we can measure it, we know that it has certain qualities. For example, we know 186,282.397 miles per second that it travels.
I didn't know that until
you didn't know that?
Not until you told me.
Well, now you do. I'm going to test you at the end to give you the three decimal points. Now, the question is asked by theologians, well, we don't have a sun. What's going on here? Well, I think what God is saying, and again, I think it's almost like God is anticipating that the secularist is going to have their viewpoint. So everything in Genesis 1 goes against the evolutionary interpretation. So the evolutionist doesn't have light first. It has stars first, heavenly bodies and stars. So God is giving us his arrangement and his sequence. And there's some other reasons why it's important that you have light before. And by the time you get to chapter or day four, rather, it doesn't even use the word sun or moon. It talks about light bearers. In other words, light is already created and the sun is just one of the major bearers of light. But there's other sources of light as well. There's chemical reactions will produce light. Electrical processes produce light. In fact, that's the common way that we get light today is electrical processes. Nuclear processes produces light. So the sun is not the only source. In fact, it is simply a bearer of the light that God already created before. And some would say, well,
do we know now? I mean, because of the content of the sun, how God used elements to create the light that comes from our nearest star.
There's a lot of things about light that we still don't know. Now, the sun, that's the light there is as a result of fusion because of the process, the nuclear fusions of the sun. So that's the source that we get from the sun. But there's a lot of mystery in terms of some of these, a lot of these areas of science. We're still discovering lots of things. So
very interesting.
But one point to make here is I think what God is doing here is telling us how he put together the universe. So I don't see this. Some theologians say, well, since there's no sun, maybe this is God's light.
Okay.
And I would say, well, but God's light is eternal because he's eternal. So and God doesn't create himself. He's right. Creating light. So I think he's creating the physical light.
And he said,
light.
Let there be.
Yeah, exactly. And he always has been. So I don't think it's God's light. I think it's physical light. And like I said, it's probably the entire electromagnetic spectrum.
Now, I have a quick question. When we were back in verse 1, without thinking about it, because we hadn't gotten there yet, and maybe I've thought about it before and slept since then, but when it says God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless, so we can imagine whatever that was. But the heavens, I imagine the stars. However, could it be other celestial bodies that, like the earth, maybe weren't formed, or maybe it was totally empty out there, or is there any speculation?
I think the best way to take that, which is very common in other places, in not only in scripture but in literature in general,
or maybe it's as simple as everything other than everything past the earth, everything from here to the end of the universe.
Well, I take Genesis 1:1 as a summary statement.
Okay.
In other words, he's saying, I'm going to tell you about how I created the universe. In the beginning,
okay,
I created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, I created the universe. And now he's going to step by step give us how that happened.
And I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it. Why would he tell us how he did it?
Well, I think we're curious, for one thing, and I think we need to understand how we fit in to the natural realm.
So and maybe he knew people would make up things that were contrary to what he did.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
Here's the recipe.
Yep.
Maybe he's got the secret ingredient, obviously.
Right.
But okay. Anyway.
Yeah. So what we have here is the beginning of light, and I take it as physical light and the entire electromagnetic spectrum. So we have the beginnings of energy here that science deals with, and the interaction of energy. So we have, in terms of science, we have the beginnings of optics, a branch of physics. So we have the beginnings of physics. And all of this, as we go through the 6 days, we're going to see that God is building the natural realm such that he's building all of the sciences.
Right. And yeah, we heard about that already. And we're just in verse 3.
Yeah.
And you must have named more than a handful of sciences that he's already introduced. Ray, we've run out of time. But when we come back next month, the second Wednesday of November, can you come back in?
Sure will.
God willing.
God willing.
All right. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.
Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.